Okay, enough of that. Let's stand, please. Take our Bibles. Yes. And turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, you can just keep your Bibles open to this passage of Scripture. You will know that Pastor's coming in for a landing when I read the entire text. I put the text in its context. We'll read that a little later on towards the end of the message. Right now, we'll just look at verse 7 as our text. Jesus is in the upper room, and here's what he says. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I want those six words to seep into you today. I will send. I will send him to you. Would you say that with me? I will send him to you. Say it again. I will send him to you. Do you understand that Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit to you? Say with me, repeat after me. Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit to me. Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit to me. Say it again. Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit to me. Oh, is that powerful? Now, just sing this chorus as Pastor Leon leads us. And don't just sing it out of memory because you might know it. Grab a hold of it and sing it from deep within you.
Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, how we need you. Come, Holy Spirit.
Rather than singing it, leave the lines up there, please. Let's just say it. Ready? Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, how we need you. Come, Holy Spirit. We need you. Once again. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, how we need you. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Do you believe that? I really do. I so desperately believe that. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would help me teach these people today about you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Today we are beginning a new series that I'm titling Embracing the Holy Spirit. Let me talk about this right now that you have in your hands. It was about 2 weeks ago that the Lord firmly impressed upon me as I was doing some preliminary study for this series, and then in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit works, and he works in many ways, in many different ways, and all of a sudden it became very real to me that it would be good for us together collectively to walk through the book of Acts. And so what I've done is I've put out a daily reading for you to walk through the book of Acts. It's really about a half a chapter a day. It's not strenuous, but I want to give you, an assignment connected with it, and that is this. When you read these, like it starts tomorrow, the 23rd, and you read the first 11 verses. And then I would like you to have another piece of paper, a diary or a journal. And I would like you to personally note every place in the book of Acts where the Spirit said or did something. Okay? The Spirit said, go here. The Spirit filled people. The Spirit caused people to speak. The Spirit testified of Jesus. And they can be little bullet points, but I want you... Now, there may be some days where you read a half a chapter and there isn't a thing said about the Spirit. You didn't miss anything, okay? But you're going to find there are other chapters where you're going to be writing 3, 4, 5, 6 things in one little reading. And we've laid this out in such a way, starting tomorrow, that we will end on the last day that we will preach this series, which will be the 16th of September. So we're in this series for the next 2 months, 6 Sundays. So I encourage you all, we will read it together every day and we'll make our little notes of what the Spirit is saying or what the Spirit is doing. I think you'll find it to be a tremendous addition to this series. I remember well, it was Memorial Day weekend, just a little less than 2 months ago. And we were having a healing service, and I was teaching that morning under the title, The Holy Spirit's Help in Healing. If you were here, you will remember that service. In that service, I gave us a sequence of scriptures that I felt to be very revealing about something. And here's kind of how we started that message that day. First of all, we talked about John baptizing Jesus, and it said, the Spirit came down from heaven as a dove and remained on him. The man on whom you see the Holy Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. After he was baptized by John, it says that he was full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert. At that point in time, the Spirit led him into the desert to the 40 days of temptation. But it's very interesting that he didn't lose the Spirit during those 40 days. For it says right on the backside of those 40 days that Jesus was functioning in the Spirit. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And as was custom to them, on Saturday, the first day he went, was back at his hometown in Nazareth. He went into the synagogue and it says he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." And then I said this, immediately after that, it was as if in his life, the floodgates of heaven opened up and healings started. And you had 2.5, almost 3 years of healing. Boom, boom, boom. One after another. We have no healings until the Holy Spirit was upon him. Then I went into the book of Acts and I said, isn't it interesting? We have the same thing in the book of Acts. Where I know the disciples were involved in some healings in the Gospels. They were, but it didn't have specifics. It was just generalities. But here you have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 3, we have Peter and John going up to the temple, the lame man, and he was healed. And we have healings, boom, 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 throughout the book of Acts, clear through to the last chapter where we are told many were healed in Malta. Acts chapter 28. Now, you who were here that Sunday, you will remember at the close of the service how we closed that service. I always try to close healing services different, not always the same. So what we did was we had the eldership come forward, and they were standing up here. And I asked them all in front of you if they were people full of the Holy Spirit. You can't be an elder in this church if you're not full of the Holy Spirit. It's one of our major requirements. Why? Because it's in the Bible. Plain and simple. And then you recall on Memorial Day weekend, I then said, I want two people from the congregation who are filled with the Holy Spirit to come and stand with these elders. So we ended up with a sea of people from here all the way over to there. And then I said to the congregation, now, if you want prayer for healing, you come forward. And we started to sing a chorus. Up until then, we hadn't even sung a chorus. We didn't do what you're supposed to do at the close of a service. And the presence and the power of God came into this place in a most unusual way. I would say, without a doubt, one of the strongest, I'd say, in the 26 years that I've been in this pastorate, that Sunday morning, Memorial Day weekend, was one of the five strongest Holy Spirit present services I've ever been in my life. So I go up to my office afterwards, and I literally sit down in exhaustion behind my desk. And I'm sitting there, and Donna comes in, and she sits down. Normally, I get my microphone off and do what I have to do. That's go to the bathroom, and then we leave, okay? And I'm just sitting there. And I'm saying, what just happened? And Miss Donna and I sat in my office for close to 30 minutes. And it was during that time, Donna said something to me that has seeded this series. She said, Joel, you embraced the Holy Spirit, and he came and did what he wanted to do. Truth. Embracing the Holy Spirit will bring about Holy Spirit results. Embracing the Holy Spirit will bring about Holy Spirit results. In that service, we made room for him. And he came and he did his thing. I don't know how else to say it. Now I know what somebody's thinking right now. Somebody's thinking, but Pastor, don't we do that in every service? I wished I could say yes, but I know better. None of you have any idea of the pressure that is put on the pastoral leadership to program a service. And don't sit there like deer in a headlights. Leon goes a little too long in praise and worship, and you're looking at your watch saying, what's he doing? He's past his time. And then we get up and preach, and the Holy Spirit is wanting to move, and yet we got to rush to get you out of here on time so you can go home and feed your face and take a nap. I'm going to tell you something. I feel that pressure to program every Sunday. I'm being honest with you. Praise and worship, announcements, offering, preach the word, have an altar call. We're Pentecostal. We're going to have an altar call, benediction, and get you out the door. It's pressure to program. And many of us are guilty of it. We must adopt another truth. Anything less than allowing the Holy Spirit to accomplish what he desires will fail to accomplish the desired end of the church. I'm going to make a statement that I know is going to solicit some spiritual knee-jerkism. Just don't jerk too far and too much and bump the person next to you. And give me a chance to talk to you about it. The statement is this: the Holy Spirit is the only God on this planet. 39 of you agree with me, and the rest of you are saying, I don't know about that. Okay, would you walk with me through this? I'm going to start by asking you a question. Where is Father God right now? He's in heaven, on the throne. He's reigning the universe from heaven. Pray with me the Lord's Prayer as found in Matthew chapter 9. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven. Stop, we've said enough. Our Father, who art in heaven. If you have God on the face of this earth, you're serving a different God than mine. He's not here. I can prove it repeatedly in Scripture. Look down from heaven, your dwelling place. Hear from heaven, your dwelling place. The priests and the Levites stood to bless the people, and God heard them, for their prayer reached heaven, his holy dwelling place. Is not God in the heights of heaven? The obvious answer is yes. I lift up my eyes to you whose throne is in heaven. I rest my case. God is in heaven. He's not here. You got him here. You prove that to me from Scripture. My second question. Where is God's son Jesus right now? You are smart people. And you are not debating this with me. Come on. I want some people to go, it's not, not so. Well, it is. Because look what the Scripture says. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God. It doesn't say, well, he'll be there and he'll go away from there. No, it says from now on, that's where he's going to be. When he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Christ Jesus died, was raised to life, is at the right hand of God the Father, and is also interceding for us, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of in the heavenly realms. Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand. If your theology has Jesus on earth with you, you prove it to me. My Bible says otherwise. So, I ask you, if God is in heaven and Jesus is on his right hand, just like I am here and Leon is on my right hand, right over there, okay? That was a joke, okay? Who is left on earth? You're right. Maybe they should preach this thing and I should sit down and listen, huh? The unseen third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Sadly, I believe a lack of understanding of the Holy Spirit and a resistance to embrace the working of the Holy Spirit has all but paralyzed the modern church and threatens to sabotage the fullness of God's intention in believers and the church. My friends, the only way God can deal with us at this point in time, in this dispensation, is through the Holy Spirit. Where there is no Holy Spirit, there is no God business being conducted. That's what Donna said to me in my office. God showed up and God did some business because we gave credence and credit to the Holy Spirit. On the other hand, when we honor the Spirit by waiting for his leading and then unquestionably follow that leading, God things happen. So what does this mean? The Holy Spirit is God's only agent on earth. Would you say that truth with me? The Holy Spirit is God's only agent on earth. He is the only experience we can have of God Almighty. He is the only way we can have the work of Jesus Christ applied to our lives. He is the only way we can understand God's Word. Without the Holy Spirit, we are like the disciples before Pentecost. We struggle with answers to our questions. We struggle with our unbelief. We're all filled with confusion, and we live day after day in defeat. To the existing Jewish religious establishment, the early Christians were mocked as unlearned, ignorant people with few resources. To the Roman Empire, they came across as fanatical people who were very, very strange. And I will even admit, they were the least likely to make an impact of a lasting significance. Yet, after Pentecost in Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on them, these nobodies became somebodies, and they possessed a power that was greater than their own. It was the power of the Spirit of God, and they began to rely upon that power, and they changed this world. More than 100 years ago, Samuel Chadwick, a great, great Methodist preacher, summed this all up. Chadwick said, "The Christian religion is hopeless without the Holy Ghost." And when one thinks about it within the context of the early church, it's absolutely true. However, I fear 2,000 years later, we have become seasoned. And we have become sophisticated to the point where we rely more on our talents and more on our technology and more on our teaching than the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something, when those things transpire where we are seasoned and sophisticated and we're talented and we have all the technological stuff, we're in trouble. To quote Jim Cimbala in his new book, Spirit Rising, he says, "Today the third person of the Trinity is underappreciated by those who misunderstand him and also misrepresented by those overzealous for his manifestations. Somewhere between those extremes, we must realize our desperate need for a genuine move of the Holy Spirit." I want to recommend a book to you. I very seldom do this. Why do I very seldom do this? Because I very seldom read a book where I agree with everything that's in it. And if I say, "Oh, this is a good book to read," but yet there's a chapter that I think is weird, there's a line that I don't agree with, then you read that book and you say, "Whoa, pastor believes in weird things. He's weird." So that's why you very seldom ever hear me say, "Get a book and read it." If you want, over the next 2 months, get a book. And I'm going to tell you, on the Holy Spirit, I have read it from cover to cover, and I agree with every sentence, every chapter, every line, every word. It's Jim Cimbala's book, Spirit Rising. It's brand new, just in the market. It's just in the bookstores now. And I will, through the course of these messages, steal some of his stuff. Not a whole lot, but some. This would be a good read for you in the next 2 months while we're walking through this series. Now, I want to look at the quote again. "Today, the third person of the Trinity is underappreciated by those who misunderstand him, misrepresented by those overzealous for his manifestations. Somewhere between these two extremes, we have got to realize our desperate need for a genuine move of God's Spirit." And I'm going to tell you something. When I read that, I was pierced in my heart. And the Holy Spirit, I said to the Holy Spirit, "Is it possible that these two extremes sit in this church every Sunday morning?" And the Holy Spirit said to me, "It's not only possible, it's happening." And I'm like, we got people here who underappreciate the Holy Spirit because they just don't understand him. And we have other people here who are overzealous for the manifestations of the Spirit. Unless it's wild and woolly and we're swinging from the chandeliers and everything else, God's really not doing much of anything today. I know someone is going to be quick to say, but Pastor, Christian Celebration Center is a Pentecostal church. My response is, you got that right. We are unashamedly Pentecostal in both our doctrine and our practice. We believe that a measure of the Holy Spirit is given to believers that is distinct from and subsequent to salvation. Different than salvation and happens after salvation. We call that the baptism of the Holy Spirit because that's what John called it in the New Testament. He said Jesus would come and baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That's why we refer to it as that. And if that term, baptism of the Holy Spirit, turns you off, what else in the Scripture are you tearing out? What else in the Scripture do you not believe? We believe this baptism of the Holy Spirit is available to all believers, not a select few. We believe the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as mentioned in Corinthians, should function in a healthy body of believers in a healthy manner. We believe a resident Holy Spirit will produce certain fruit in a believer's life. And we believe a spiritual language that comes as a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit will help us immensely in our intercession. Because when we don't know how to pray for things, He will come and help us pray for things. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever observed a fellow Christian in the workplace, in the neighborhood, at the mall? You know they're a Christian. They worship the Lord. They love the Lord. They give profession that they've accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They are a Christian. And yet you watch them, and what you saw, you looked at it, and you said, hopefully you said it only to yourself and to nobody else, that they sure don't act like a Christian. Okay, how many have ever seen that? See your hands. Put them down. The rest of you are liars. Because we've all seen it. And we've all thought it. Well, they sure don't, are sure not acting like a Christian right now. Is it possible that people who are Pentecostal don't act like Pentecostals? You better believe it. Same way. It isn't any different. Truth. It is possible to be Pentecostal in policy, but not in practice. It's possible for me to say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, and I believe in all this stuff that Pastor just talked about, but when it comes to actually fleshing it out, actually living that way, that's another story. It was about 3.5 years ago, I was invited by a friend of mine, a pastor of an Assemblies of God church. That's a great Assemblies of God church, and he is a great pastor, and I know he believes in the fullness of the Spirit and the flow of the Spirit and everything else. He was going to have a forum. It was in southern Michigan. He had the blessings of the district superintendent of the Michigan district of the Assemblies of God to gather together a bunch of ministers by invitation only and have this forum where they were going to talk about certain subject matters. And the subject matters of that day was the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit being in operation in the church. And he called me and he asked me if I would come down and if I would give a short presentation about how we experience the gifts of the Spirit operating in our church. And I said, I'd be more than happy to. I got down there and there were in the room 30 to 35 men. There were two or three about my age. That's not old, I want you to understand. That's not old. It's just moving into seasonedness, okay? Into maturity, okay? Quit your smiling, Donna, okay? And then there were a bunch that were a little younger than me, and then a whole bunch that were in their 20s. Have you ever been in a situation where you shared something and you realized that after you got into what you were sharing that nobody was receiving what you were sharing? That was me that day. And I'm talking about, now I got to give you the context. You have 30 to 35 men who are either senior pastors or staff pastors of churches. I would say 3/4 of them were credentialed with the Assemblies of God. And there were another 1/4 of them that weren't credentialed with the Assemblies of God, but they were in Pentecostal churches. There were no Catholics, Methodists, and Presbyterians there, you understand. I'm just trying to give you the context. So, I'm sharing about how the gifts of the Spirit work at Christian Celebration Center and how if we go too many Sundays without the gifts of the Spirit being in operation, I'm on my face praying to God, where are we going? What's up, God? We got to get back to hearing from you and da-da-da-da-da-da. And I could tell as I was sharing, boy, it was just going. Well, I go like that too long. I just shut up. That's why I keep talking here, because it never goes like that, okay? You ever stop listening to me, you'll get benediction so fast it'll make your head swim, okay? And what followed was most challenging. I sat in that room for 3 hours and I listened to debate. Not on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. Almost everybody in that room believed that. That wasn't the issue. One guy took the floor for over 30 minutes. He was my age or a little older. I was shocked. And he gave us his treatise on why the Holy Spirit does not work in the church today in those manners. And he had studied it and he went on and on and on. And I'm just like throwing up. And another guy. And all of these young pastors, they were sitting there and they were chiming. And I realized, I was in the small minority. We had a box lunch. I got in my car and left. This is no exaggeration. I got 3 blocks from the church and I pulled into a driveway and I got out of my car. And I stood there. It was kind of in a rural area, kind of a subdivision, but it was in the middle of the day. Nobody was there. They, you know, I didn't start dancing on the car, people saying, he's a nut. But I got out of my car, and this is not an exaggeration. I stood there, and I just went. I had to shake it off, get back in my car, and drive back to Midland. I have never been back to one of those forums. I've been invited for 3 years. I got better things to do with my time than debate credentialed ministers on whether the Spirit moves or doesn't move in this day. I'll take it a step farther. You don't understand that now for 11 years, I have very carefully guarded the pastoral level of leadership in this church so that people did not come into this church who were not Spirit-filled and believed in the moving of the Holy Spirit in God's people. And you understand, I'm interviewing credentialed Assemblies of God pastors. I will tell you one story. We were looking for our first position as assistant pastor when Mike Olson came to us. That would be about 11 years ago. I had this name come to me from the West Coast. I looked at the resume, and the resume was like, dude, this is everything we want and a whole lot more. This guy was strong into small groups, cell groups. He was a great communicator. The references, I called them, they were all awesome. People couldn't say enough good about this guy. I thought, oh God, you've been so good to me. You've led me to another one that's just so fantastic. And I got on the phone with this guy. You got to understand, When someone interviews for a pastoral position at Christian Celebration Center, the in-person interview will go 4 to 5 hours with between 40 and 50 questions. Is that not right? That's the truth. It wasn't in Leon's day. He would have never been on the pastoral staff today if it weren't that way. That's the truth. No, that's not the truth. That's not the truth. No, that's not the truth. Leon, that is not the truth. That is not the truth. Forgive me. Forgive me, for I have sinned. Okay, there we go. Okay. I want to know of a potential pastor, when were you saved? Tell me the day. Tell me the hour. Tell me the place. You were born again. I look at a potential pastor and I say, tell me where and how and when were you called into ministry? I can't stand to have people in this position at this level who are not called to do that. Who are not anointed and called and set apart to do that. Tell me when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when I asked that question to this guy in California, there was a pause. And I said, do you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit? He said, yeah. He said, how about the gifts of the Spirit in operation? Well, that's not for the church today. I said, do you have prayer language? No. Well, how, when you're in the middle of an interview and you know the interview is over, do you stop the interview? The interview was over. It was over. But as far as he was concerned, it wasn't over. This went into an hour and a half debate on the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? I've got the job. He's interviewing for the job. Dude, how dumb can you get and still breathe? And when I said it isn't going to work, he wanted to debate with me on our position. And finally I said, does your pastor, he was a staff pastor, does your pastor know about your position? Well, no, but I'm going to tell him in the next couple of weeks. And I said, well, I think you really ought to. I said, you are credentialed with the Assemblies of God. Yeah, I just fill that piece of paper out every year and turn it in. And then he said this to me. He said, well, you just got to understand, Pastor Joel, up in Michigan there, you're a little old-fashioned, because you got to understand, over half of the credentialed ministers on the West Coast don't believe any of that stuff any longer. Fine. I have, for 11 years, guarded you that you don't have church board members and their wives or pastors and their wives who are not baptized in the Holy Spirit and believe in waiting upon the Spirit and moving with the Spirit. Do you understand what will happen to a church if you just take a children's pastor or a youth pastor and for a space of 4 or 5 years teach your boys and girls or your teenagers that the Holy Spirit doesn't work the way the Holy Spirit works? You will devastate a church. You will lose a whole generation. And on my watch, that's never going to happen. But let me tell you what has happened. My assessment is what has transpired in this day and age is a spiritual divorce in the American church between the Word and the Spirit. And this spiritual divorce has greatly crippled the advancement of Christianity. Those on the Word side say, we must contend for the faith by proclaiming the Word. Nothing else really counts. Nothing else matters. Get back to expository preaching. Give the people the Word and then let them be responsible for living accordingly. And can I tell you something? I don't find anything wrong with that. I would have a real challenge attending a church where the Word was not powerfully, authoritatively, anointedly proclaimed in every service. I just have real problems with that. So I'm in their camp. The spirit side is different. They say, we respond, yes, the word is important, but we must see the gifts of the Spirit in operation. We seek signs and wonders, and we want powerful prayer meetings that go long and loud, and we want to see a move of the Spirit. And I've got to tell you, I find nothing wrong with that. So in evangelical Christianity in America, and that's where we live, we have had a spiritual divorce. And you have a number of churches that have in their pulpits guys who know how to preach the word. And they preach it good. There are probably some evangelical pastors in this community who could preach circles around Stalker. They know how to preach, and they do it with excellence. But there's a lack of the move of the Holy Spirit in their services. And on the other hand, you have a spirit-based church who says, we don't care if we ever get the word preached. And don't take 30 or 45 minutes to teach us the word and all the rest of that. All we want to do is just see the Spirit move and see things happen and see people on the floor and see people laughing and see demonstrations of the Spirit, manifestations of the Spirit. That's all we really care about. And neither seems to understand this truth. God's immediate presence comes to a people when both the Word and the Spirit equally and simultaneously come together. The Word of God intersecting with the Holy Spirit is what is needed in every pulpit and in every pew in America. And I will tell you, that's what I, as pastor, desire at Christian Celebration Center. I desire to pastor a people in a place where the Word of God is honored alongside childlike dependence and openness to the Holy Spirit. Now, the context is real important. Musicians, you can come back, please. The context of our passage is very, very important. If you would flip back one page to John chapter 13, two pages in my Bible, excuse me. John 13, 1 says, it was just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. The upper room discourse starts in John chapter 13 and it goes through John chapter 17. At the beginning, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. He predicted his betrayal. He predicted Peter's denial. And what follows is known as the upper room discourse. 13:1 through 17:26. It doesn't all take place in the upper room. If you go to the end of chapter 14, you will see the last line of chapter 14 says, come, now let us leave. So he taught a number of things in and around the Passover supper, washed the disciples' feet, gave these predictions, and at some point he said, let's get up and leave. They got up and they left the upper room. Oh, I wish you could all come on our next pilgrimage. September of 2014, 2.5 years from now, I would take you to the upper room. And from the upper room, we would walk these small little streets in the southeast corridor of Jerusalem. We couldn't take the same path because Jesus probably walked through the eastern gate. The eastern gate is now blocked by the Turks in the 1500s. It's the place where Jesus will come through when he comes back someday. But what we'll do is we'd get outside the eastern wall and we'd come down into the Kidron Valley and we'd cross over into the Garden of Gethsemane. And while he's walking along, he's talking to them. And in chapter 16, he makes a statement about embracing the Holy Spirit that I personally believe is unequaled in all of Scripture. I pick it up at 16:5. Follow, please. Now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, Where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Because unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll take care of that. He'll guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and that is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and I will make it known to you. Look up here, please. I want to ask you a question. The question is, what did Jesus say would be the primary responsibility of the Holy Spirit? Don't answer it. Just think it. I think in one of these messages, we'll go through this passage and we'll look at each of these things he said, but there was a primary thing that he repeats over and over again. Jesus said in verse 14, he will take from what is mine and he will make it known to you. The Amplified says in verse 15, he, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and will reveal, that is, he'll declare and he'll disclose and he will transmit it to you. The Message says, he takes from me and delivers to you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He takes what comes from Jesus and he gives it. Who would not want to embrace that? Listen closely to what I'm about to say. I really believe that we do not impress God with the fact that we are Pentecostals and that this is a Pentecostal fellowship. God is impressed when he finds a people who will embrace the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Do we do that? You know what? That can't be answered collectively until it's answered personally. Do you embrace the Spirit of God? Do you want him? Do you welcome him? Or do you refuse him and reject him because you simply don't understand him? I remember it well. October 11th, 07. This church had just spent 4 days going through the ringer. because one of our board members suddenly and very unexpectedly passed away running the Chicago Marathon. The body of Chad Scheiber laid in state here in this auditorium because the funeral home could never accommodate the crowd that would come. And I remember the crowd came on that Thursday night. And my style is I minister to the family and then I get out of the way and let the family be with the family. I don't try to be Mr. Whatever for hours at the funeral home. That's not my position and my place. It's not a pastor's place. This was different because I had hundreds of people from my congregation coming in and they were hurt and they didn't understand and they were confused. And Sarah was doing such a good job of greeting people and loving on people and receiving the love of people. And Don and I spent 6 or more hours just in this auditorium walking around and hugging a lot of people. It was towards the end of that reviewal time. Tom, is it Tom? I need your help, please. This is totally unprepared or unrehearsed. I needed someone my size. Come here, please. The casket was here. It was now thinning out, and there weren't 25 or 30 people left. And a businessman, a prominent businessman from this congregation, came into the auditorium. I have had interactions with this businessman. He knew me on a first-name basis. I knew him on a first-name basis. I watched him come down this center aisle, and he stood right here at the casket. Tom, come over here, please. And I watched him just stand here like this, all alone. Sarah was over here talking to people. He was all alone. And I was back here about where you're at, John. And I just stood and I watched this. And he stood there for the longest of time. If I told you who it was, every person in this auditorium would know who I'm talking about. That's how prominent of a businessman this person was in this community. And the Holy Spirit said to me, just go up and just love him. And so I stood here. Now I'm going to be him, and you're going to be me. And I walked up, and I embraced him. I put my arm around him, just like that. And I'll never forget it. He went. I turned around, and I walked to my seat. And I let him stand in his loneliness and in his hurt because he rejected my embrace. I tried. The Holy Spirit, over the next 2 months, is going to come to every person in this congregation and want to embrace you. And you will either embrace him back, or you will say, and I want you to understand, when you say this, you are saying, I reject God. Because there's only one God on planet Earth today. And his name is the Holy Spirit. It's the only way God talks to you. It's the only way God woos you. It's the only way God whispers into your ear the things of God. Would you stand, please? I know with this crowd, I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to. Because I feel on this first service, this congregation needs to make a statement to God. And that statement is, Holy Spirit, I'll embrace you. I will embrace you. I'm going to be the first to tell you, I don't know what I'm preaching right now. I have told my wife, this is more challenging and more difficult than I ever dreamt possible. But I know it is more needed for my life and your life. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask everybody in the church house who would say, Pastor, I want to embrace the Holy Spirit as Leon and the team leads us. I'm going to ask you to make a move. You say, that's ridiculous. We can't all get up there. I know we can't. The first 200 that comes up are going to go into the choir loft and fill this whole platform area. And then the rest of us will crowd together, shoulder to shoulder, making a statement to the Holy Spirit that we as a people are going to embrace Him. I will pray a prayer, and we will have finished our program. And then we'll let the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do. The altars are open. Leon?
Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. Bring us healing with your warm embrace.
Go back into the choir loft, please. Go back into the choir loft.
And show your power, make your presence known. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. Breath of God, we need a touch from you. Shine down on us. Shine down us.
Once the choir loft is filled, just fill this area. Fill up here. Just come this direction. Come from the balcony. Come in the aisles. Fill this area up here now. The platform is full. The rest of you can just fill right in here. The platform is full. But fill this whole front place. Come this direction, please.
Holy Spirit, come in.
Please, could you come from this way? This way. Thank you.
Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. Bring us healing with your warm embrace. Show your power and make your presence known. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. And breath of God, we need a touch from you.
Where is there a microphone?
Shine down on us with the light of truth. Stir our hearts and set our spirit free. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place.
Let's sing it together once more. Let's lift it up now. We're all in place. Let's lift it up.
Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. Bring us healing with your warm embrace.
Show your power and make your presence known.
Show your power.
Holy Spirit, come and fill this place.
Holy Spirit, come and fill this place.
Breath of God, we need a touch from you. Shine down on us with the light of truth. Stir our hearts and set our spirit free. Stir our hearts and set our spirit.
Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place.
Do you understand when you're singing that what you're saying? I'm sure someplace in this series I'll give reference to it. The scripture says that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I'm singing that the Spirit would come and fill this room. Forget about this room. The scripture is very clear. The Spirit does not fill buildings that are made by man. The Spirit fills your temple. You are the place the Spirit has chosen to reside. It's awesome. It's awesome. This has been a subject matter that is very, very dear to my wife. I'll just be honest with you. She's more in love with the Holy Spirit than I am. And I know that. I know that. She courts him a whole lot better than I do. I know that. So I'm coming a little late. But in my books, it's better late than never. It's better late than never. Before we dismiss, Donna, would you please pray for us? Testing 1, 2, 3. Can someone give me the microphone from the first pew there? Thank you. I'm sorry. Thank you so much, Dave. Thank you. Okay. Please.
Holy Spirit, we stand before you today, recognizing that you are the awesome third part of the Trinity, and you are as real as God the Father and Jesus Christ. The word says that we are to give honor where honor is due. And I believe that exists in the Godhead as well. We repent to you today.
Yes.
Mostly out of misunderstanding and ignorance. The part that you play and want to be in our lives. We recognize you to be fully God, and that you are the power of God unto us. And I just believe today that you want to come in a fresh and a new way and give revelation to those that maybe haven't been able to fully understand and grasp what you want to be in their lives. And I just am excited to know that there's going to be a profound relationship developed with many people here today.
Grant it, Lord.
Through the teaching and the understanding, we ask that that would be anointed and burst forth in those that lack understanding, maybe new believers, maybe believers that just haven't fully understood. But we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're going to reveal what you want to be in the hearts and lives of people. And for some who've understood and maybe have waned in the purpose, in the relationship, in the power, in the intimacy, I pray, Lord, through repentance and forgiveness that you will accept and you will draw us back in. And there will be a sweetness and intimacy that will come back in. And we say thank you for that. We say thank you for that. Because we understand through the scripture that anything that's accomplished in life is done through you, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Again, you
yes.
are the power of God unto us. That it's not by might and it's not by power. It's all by you, Holy Spirit. We recognize you as God, fully God. We recognize you to making Jesus real to us. And we recognize you for you. That you flesh out life with us here on earth. And you truly are a comforter, a standby, an advocate, an intercessor, and a friend.
A friend, yes.
So I just pray, Lord, as we leave the church house today, that we will leave with a fresh reminder that you are the power of God unto us, and you're all these things and so much more. And we tell you we love you, and we appreciate you, and we have a new purpose to give honor to you. And we pray it all in the powerful name of Jesus.
Amen. Now let's raise our hands and let's sing that, Leon, just what you're playing now. We sang it before we started to preach. Let's close our service with it.
Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, how we need you. Come, Holy Spirit.
To ask all of the ladies to sing it, just the ladies. Men, let's talk to the Holy Spirit. Ladies, go ahead, men, just say a word to the Holy Spirit. Tell the Holy Spirit, men, how you want him. Express your thoughts to him. Now all of the men will sing it, and ladies, you just talk to the Holy Spirit. Men,
come, Holy Spirit. Oh, how we need you. Come, Holy Spirit. We
Let's lift it up. All together, sing it loud.
Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, how we need.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Sing it under the Holy Spirit. Sing it again, but I want you to change the second and the fourth line. Oh, how I need you. Oh, how I need you. You have it up there. Oh, my. You people are with it up there. Thank you. No, excuse me. I want you. I'm sorry. Oh, how I want you. I want you. Let's sing it that way.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Oh, how I want you.
Oh, how I want you. Come, Holy Spirit. I want
you. Once more. It's our declaration today. Sing it loud.
Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, how I want you. Come, Holy Spirit. I want you.
Feel just before we dismiss. We should pause. There are those of you who are used in the gifts of the Spirit. Would the Spirit say something to us before we leave today through a gift? If so, would you be obedient and give us that gift right now? The gift of the voice of the Holy Spirit to this people? A message to this people? Go ahead.
Personally, and for this church. For as you embrace the Holy Spirit, you will be transformed. And therefore, this church will be transformed because the church is you. And I tell you that you have a choice. You can choose to embrace me. And in that embrace, as my word says, is life and peace.
Amen.
Thank you.
And the Holy Spirit can be great. He is a person of the Trinity, and he can be grieved when you reject him. He will pursue you, but he will not push himself on you. If you reject him, he is grieved, but he is overjoyed when you receive him. And when you openly receive him and do not reject him, you will be filled with his joy.
This second word, look up here, everybody. This second word that was given is where we will go next Sunday. I don't know where we're going beyond next Sunday. But next Sunday, I want to talk to you about the person of the Holy Spirit. See, there is a reason people stiff-arm the Holy Spirit. And it's because they are afraid of him, because they see him as not a him, but an it. I was programmed growing up to understand that the Holy Spirit was a ghost. And most of you who cut your eye teeth on the King James Version know just what I'm talking about. So we were told and we were preached about the Holy Ghost and about the Holy Spirit. And can I tell you something? Ghosts and spirits scare the bejeebies out of me. Okay? We need to understand the Holy Spirit is not a ghost. And the Holy Spirit is not a spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not a spook. The Holy Spirit is a person. And if you and I can get that, it'll be easy for us to embrace him. I pray the Lord would bless you and keep you. I pray the Lord would show his Holy Spirit to you this week through Acts 1, 2, and I think 3, however far we get by next Sunday. Read it every day and put your journal. This is what the Spirit did. This is what the Spirit said. Bring it with you next Sunday. I love you all. I want to grow with you in this area. Come September 16th, I'm going to be more yielded to the Holy Spirit than I am today. It's going to make me a better person and a better pastor. And if Leon will yield to the Holy Spirit, he can stay on this pastoral staff, okay? We love you, Leon. We appreciate your leadership. You always lead us into the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Okay? Now, while Donna was praying, the Lord said to me, we should do this as we close. You find about a half a dozen people and hug them. Now, before you start, I'm very serious about this. And we each only have one wife or one husband, so it's got to be somebody else besides them. You understand? You all just have one wife and one husband, don't you? I hope so. And here's the deal. When you hug somebody, this lady, I don't even know. I just met her before church. She lives 2 hours from here. Your name is?
Jana.
But when I hug Jana and Jana hugs me, I feel what the Holy Spirit wants to do to me. He wants to embrace me. So you get about 6 embraces, and every time you do it, you think, this is what the Holy Spirit wants to do to me. You have a great day. God bless you.